Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Brandy M. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 5th. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 157, seventh paragraph, starting with, two friends spoke, ending with, be boiled as an owl. We're going to comment on those two paragraphs. Today's readers are Pam M. for the 12 Steps, Leslie M. for the 12 Traditions. Readers of the text are Barbara W., Elaine M., and Dion R. Kaylee R. is our newcomer greeter, and Robin P. will do announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, January 4th, 10 a.m. meeting are 18354. That's 18,354. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, the reference share ID is 18,357. That's 18357. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Pam M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, everyone. Pam M. in upstate New York. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Pamela M. All right, I'll now ask Leslie M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Leslie.
Thank you, Brandy, for your service. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that you share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muting using the star 1 feature. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 157. We're on the 7th paragraph, starting with two friends spoke, ending with be boiled as an owl. We're going to comment on those two paragraphs only. I will now ask Eileen M. to begin reading. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. The two friends spoke of their spiritual experience and told him about the course of action they carried out. He interrupted, "I used to be strong for the church." "But that won't fix it. I've prayed to God on hangover mornings and sworn that I'd never touch another drop, but by 9 o'clock I would be boiled as an owl." And, well, I can really relate to I used to be strong for the church, because I didn't believe that God would do this for me, would help me with this problem. The spiritual experience and the course of action, they told him what they did, what worked for them. And, before I was given the solution, I used to ask God to make me abstinent, on certain days. And I didn't do that consistently because I really didn't believe that it would work. And, at that time, before I got recovered, the course of action that was offered to me was, using the tools of the program only. And the tools are great in of themselves, but for me, I needed more than human aid. I needed a spiritual experience, which, came from the culmination of the step work. And, what I really need is help living life on life's terms without compulsively overeating. I mean, that's the really hard part, but, once the food obsession was removed, I get to live in the steps. Because that's what addresses the mental obsession daily, is the step work, I'm just really, really grateful for that, because, here's one of the methods that I tried. Before I got recovered, I thought, well, I'll just become a vegan, and that will remove the food obsession, if I just eat that way. And, it never really worked. None of these things worked. And I really thought it was up to me to remove the food obsession myself. I thought that, I'm the only one who can do it. And, I was really wrong, because it never worked, and it just continued to get worse. So I'm really grateful today, and thanks so much.
Thank you, Eileen M. All right, so we will now open the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So who would like to share on this paragraph or these two paragraphs?
Lindsay.
Lindsay. Anyone
Lauren
else?
Grace B.
Was that Lauren Grace B?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect opportunity if you've never shared.
Kim H.
Hi, this is Greg K. I'd like to share.
Greg K. And was that Kim B?
Kim H.
Kim H. Okay. Okay, well, let's start with this lineup, and then hopefully either more people will join or people will want to share. So I have Lynn B. I have Lauren Grace B, Kim K, and Greg K. So good morning, Lynn.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for everyone's service on the meeting. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California, recovered compulsive overeater. And man, I don't know why, but when the reader was talking, and it just brought back to me all those times where God was trying to get through to me, but I was desperate enough. And so I was so selfish and self-centered in my disease growing up. And so I remember I'd get desperate enough and finally reach out and pray. But my prayers would only be selfish, self-seeking, right? Like, oh, please let me fit into this dress. Please let me lose 30 pounds this month or whatever, something crazy. All selfish prayers, right? And now we know that selfish prayers don't really do much. I know selfish prayers don't really do much. Now I can see how God was trying to get in, okay, I think you're desperate enough. Let's try, And I just couldn't see it. I just couldn't see it until I was done, until I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And, for me, that was right about, middle of college, right? 19. I had been doing it for so long my way. And thankfully, God had come in and shown me another way. And I am so grateful for that. The other thing, too, was just I remember sitting there and thinking of ways, right? What else can I do? What else diet can I try? What else, looking for external solutions for my internal problem, as some people say. And just spending hours on that and doing those, writing it all out during the weekend, exactly what I'm going to do Monday morning, and praying and buying all the foods. And then Monday morning, it just, something happened, the stove wasn't working or something, and I couldn't do it. And then I just said, screw it. And, I was off running to the races and, let's try again at a, future date. That didn't work either. So I'm grateful for the desperation and the bottomness that I had. I think it's what really got me to open up and to realize to stop praying for, selfish ends, because it just really doesn't work for me. So I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lindy. All right, Lauren Grace B, you're up next, followed by Kim H. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Lauren Grace B. I am a recovering compulsive overeater, fairly new to this meeting, first time sharing on this meeting. A few things hit me here. The friends told him about the course of action they carried out. And I have been strong for the church and also strong for OA. I've been in OA for 31 years, but I recently got a new sponsor, and this is the first time I am identifying my alcoholic behaviors as well as my alcoholic foods, and also the first time I'm working through the big book to do my steps. And I have to say, it's a very different experience, and I'm just getting started, and I feel a bit overwhelmed. I'm just trying to walk that fine line between being convicted of things and feeling condemned about things. Some of my alcoholic behaviors I find are creeping in totally unbeknownst to me, and I do it, and I think, oh my gosh, I just did it. You know, the food is weighed and measured and clean, but some of those crazy behaviors are still there. And I just am praying. I'm reaching out to people. And I think part of the issue for me is I had a high bottom. I've always had a high bottom physically. My weight was the high end of normal, was the highest I ever got. However, I have a new awareness that even though that's my story so far, I have a new awareness of this disease that I could progress to the point of being boiled as an owl by 9 o'clock in the morning, even though that hasn't been my pattern. And I never want it to be my pattern. And I just feel like God is leading me to take this disease more seriously and be more surrendered, which is my word for the year, and to turn these things over to him and be humble enough to listen to people who have traveled the path before me. And that's all. With that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right, Kim H., I have you up next, followed by Greg K. Good morning, Kim.
Hi, I'm Kim H. I'm from Rhode Island. This is also my first time sharing. This is my second live meeting with you folks, and I really have enjoyed it so far. The first paragraph talking about the two friends told him about their experience, I'm like right at that spot right now in my own life. I have two connections that I've made so far in OA. One I check in with daily, sometimes a couple of times a day, and one that's on the back burner right now until I get complete, who might be my sponsor, who until I get everything kind of all my, you know, ducks in a row, I'll start doing readings and stuff with him. I'm so grateful. I shared my number yesterday as a newcomer and got several phone calls from you folks. And I just appreciate the warm welcome, the outpouring of support. It's funny, last night I was having some serious cravings, and now I understand why it would be good. I'm on the East Coast, why it would be good to have a friend on the West Coast in a different time zone, so I'm not obnoxiously texting or calling a friend too late. I just want to say how grateful and thankful and blessed I feel to be here, and thank you all for your service. And with that, I will also pass.
Thank you so much, Kim H. All right, so next up we'll have Greg K., but before Greg K., I'll just tell you where we're at. So we're on page 157, seventh paragraph, starting with two friends spoke, ending with be boiled as an owl. So we're commenting on those two paragraphs. So if you would like to share, I'll take more names after Greg K. Good morning, Greg K.
Good morning, everyone. So what's coming up for me is white knuckling and being strong for people, places, and things, worried more about how other people view me than love for myself and surrender. So, I mean, you know, just last night I was alone for the first time in a few days after spending about two or three days with my girlfriend, and you know, I was great with the food when I was with her, portioning everything, not overeating. And as soon as I had my first night alone, I did the thing. I said, oh, I can have two portions. Oh, I can have three portions. Nobody's watching. You know, so I can be strong for my girlfriend. I can make her my higher power. I can be strong for a meditation retreat and, you know, try to be the best meditator, spiritual practitioner. And then as soon as I get home to my apartment, I am weak. You know, I will do the thing in the shadows. I will isolate and not take care of myself like God would want for me. And I will not feel the presence of my higher power. I've tried all the diets. I've certainly lost a lot of weight, and doing so made me feel better about myself. But that better about, you know, that self-esteem was only temporary. So I completely relate to the reading, what I hear other people saying, and you know, I feel humbled. I feel humbled, like I have so much growth, and there's so much for me to learn about surrender and what it means to really ask for help from higher power and from program. Sometimes I think I got it, and you know, it's just an illusion. It's just my ego, and it's just control. So happy that I was able to get on the line this morning. I've got like 30 minutes, and I have to take off to work. Part of me wanted to just sit and meditate alone, and then I thought, well, I could probably hear something helpful and maybe share something that might be helpful. So that's my time. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Greg K. All right. Who would like to share?
Pam M. in upstate New York.
Pam M.
Rachel E.
Jordan L. Ann M. Washington. M.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Okay. Did you get Rachel P?
No, I
Sarit
didn't. Thank you, Rachel. Sorry, was that Sarit?
Yes, Sarit L. Thanks.
Sarit L. Anyone else? All right, so I'll tell you who I have Pam M, Jordan L, Ann M, Robin P, Rachel P, and Sarit L. All right, good morning, Pam.
Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M in upstate New York, a compulsive eater living in 10, 11, and 12. I don't know what this gentleman's prayer was or exactly what he asked for from his higher power. You know, but I do know that step 11 specifically says, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And I definitely resonate with what everyone said too, you know, those prayers, God, make me skinny, God, help me not to eat off my food plan, you know, God, help me fit into this dress by this date. and now in this recovered state of living in 10, 11, 12, I don't ask God for anything. It's the path of non-resistance. And I love that topic of serenity. And using that word non-resistance really helps me, because I can ask myself, what am I resisting today? What am I fighting today? What do I feel uncomfortable about today? And when I can let go of all of that and stop resisting God's will, then the uncomfortable emotions subside and I find the natural peace and joy and love and light that I was built with by my Creator. And I don't need to reach for the food. I don't need to fly off the handle. Yes, I still get angry. I still have feelings. I still sometimes say things that I wish that I hadn't have said, do things that I wish I hadn't have done. But I'm very quick to recognize it now. And those things happen less and less. And, you know, when I first got abstinent, it was horrible, you know, and, you know, the old saying that when you put down the food, you're going to feel better, you're going to feel anger better, you're going to feel resentment better, you're going to feel your fear better is, you know, so true. And that's why it's important to have spiritual friends in the program to talk to and ask questions and listen to. And sometimes, especially in the beginning, it's really hard, really hard to hear what your recovered fellows are saying. I know it was really difficult for me. And yes, thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Pam. All right. Good morning, Jordan L.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, okay. Sorry. My name's Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning with friends and my OA family. This bit about being strong for the church. So it's really important to kind of point this out here. This isn't religion, and that's not what we're talking about here. And that's not to say that there's anything wrong with religion, because I'm not saying that at all by any means. I believe in results, so whatever works, run with it, you know, as long as it's working. But that's not what we're talking about here. There's a time and place for religion and church and all that, those foxhole prayers and all that good stuff, and it's just not here. What we're talking about here is a course of action, being moved to act in a way that we've never acted before. And I got that early on in abstinence, and I still, that's still the basis for my spiritual experience today, this continued spiritual experience that I have in order to stay abstinent and in order to stay in a recovered state, you know. I don't get abstinent to crawl into a hole and find the perfect food plan, you know, like I get abstinent and I follow a food plan so that I can fully engage with my life and I can like really be here and present for the people around me.
Honey, can you be quiet?
Sorry. So this bit about a spiritual experience and a course of action, that's what changes the game for me. That's what brings me in this fellowship, doing it alongside other people in this fellowship, doing the same thing, taking those same actions, making that same surrender, placing not only our food, but our will and our life into a higher power's hands. Like, that's what alters this existence enough, or I guess my attitude in this existence enough to like have a spiritual experience. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thanks, Jordan. All right, next up I have M, followed by Robin P. Good morning, M.
Good morning, everyone. This is M from Washington State. Oh my gosh, these the two words, hangover mornings, struck me as a memory of, it was probably 10 or 15 years after I started in OA, and I would wake up and with an emotional hangover, which I didn't know what that was until my sponsor and other OA members reminded me that food or obsessive thoughts about food or weight or whatever in my life can give me a hangover. And I did have that because I'd either overeaten the day before or just was in a state of fear about some relationship or whatever, and I'd obsess on that thought. So that was the hangover for me. And I've realized over the years, too, and a really strong member in OA who had many, many years of recovery, about the same as myself. We both came in the late 80s, and she said, you know, there is junk inside, which is, for me, not just food, not food anymore, but emotional junk that I haven't really looked at and worked on. And she said, and here is the solution, the big book, working the steps, doing the action. That's the treatment. The solution is, for me, the big book. Eliminating the food is just the beginning. Then I start looking on the real life stuff that I defaulted to food because I was in an anxious state about something, and then I just get to worry about food and weight instead of my own difficulties and anxieties in life, which is, you know, often. So here it is, people. You know, for me, the food is gone, and the work is beginning, and each day, each 24 hours. So thank you so much. I appreciate so much this meeting. I can't wait to get up in the morning to go online at 7 o'clock for me. But take care, everyone, and know that it works. Bye now.
Thank you so much, Anna. All right, next up we have Robin P., followed by Rachel P. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, thanks so much for your service. Hi, it's Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, currently in Palm Beach, Florida, and normally in Costa Rica. You know, it's just such a disease of denial. And it just is always telling me that I don't have a disease. And the spiritual experience is so different from the religious experience, you know, for me. And I actually go to church, and I'm grateful for church, and my connection with God is not contingent on that, and it's internal. And I was thinking yesterday that I have 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. I get to meditate twice as much as I pray, you know, and listen twice as much as I talk. And faith without works is dead, and work without faith is dead. And I've done that before. When I was in the disease, I would pray and swear off, and then by 9 o'clock, I'd be binging and vomiting, and just wondering how this happened again, how that Russian roulette happened again. And I'm so grateful. I just celebrated 6 years of continued abstinence. I'm eternally grateful to this program and to these rooms. My abstinence is I don't binge, I don't vomit, I don't starve. And I have my meals and I enjoy them. And I'm a vegan, I'm an organic vegan and gluten-free. And I just found, you know, how to use food to heal my body instead of hurt my body. And it's actually my medicine today. And that is a miracle because it used to be my drug and my poison. And now it's my gift from God, one of my gifts. We thought for a month to be with my mom, and now it looks like it's going to be 2 months, and we're looking for a place to live for the second month during high season in Palm Beach, Florida, which is really intense. And I just get to surrender, you know, praying only for knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out, has been said. That's my only prayer. God, you have your way, you have your will. My mom really wants us to stay. But, you know, we get to follow what God wants us to do. And I really get to work my program and really surrender. And I also love the third step, you know, and I'm in his care. So God bless everybody with a very blessed and abstinent day. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin. All right, next up we have Rachel P. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, this is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado, and grateful to be on this meeting with each of you. I really related to this first paragraph. I used to be strong for the church, but that won't fix it. That was, you know, my childhood and adolescence. I was really engaged, involved in a religious community, and I would pray, you know, often at night, like, God, please make me sin. God, please, you know, bring me good friends. God, please help me fit into these clothes. You know, this is what I've heard on this meeting this morning. It was a very conditional concept of God. And then inevitably, when the things that I wanted didn't happen, I decided, well, there is no God. You know, like, if there is a God, like, it's not doing anything for me, so I might as well just, you know, be non-committal and just check out from this. And I became soured to the idea of God and became an atheist for many years. And you know, I didn't realize at the time, and now that I do, now that I'm recovered, that, you know, that concept of God that I had for a long time was like a wish list God. It was a conditional concept of God. And, you know, when I was praying to, you know, what I knew to be God, I was really just in self-will. And then, of course, you know, all of the behaviors around restricting and dieting and binging and all of the things, you know, that was all self-will. That was all self. I was never surrendered to God. I didn't, you know, I thought that I was with my will prayers, but I wasn't. And now it's so refreshing, you know, to have come into this program and learn that rather than, you know, try to have a concept of God that's a wish list God, a Santa Claus God, I can, you know, pray for, you know, my motives and behaviors, you know, to be in line with higher power, to be fully surrendered. You know, I didn't know the meaning of surrender until I was so, so desperate, and this disease just beat me down so much that I had no choice but to surrender and really, you know, turn over that self-will, because everything I had tried had not worked. And, you know, then miraculously discovered that act of surrender works. And it really, you know, took, you know, a lot of pain in this disease to get to that place. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for every binge, you know, for all of everything that I went through before I came into recovery, because it took me to a place where I had no choice but to surrender. And, you know,
please.
And thank you. I'll pass with that.
Okay.
Thank you, Rachel. All right, next up, we have Sarit L. Good morning, Sarit.
Hi, it's Sarit L. I don't even know, recovering. I'm also living in steps 10, 11, and 12, and I'm not binging for today. And did I say I'm in Montreal? So everyone is just saying the same thing. It's amazing. We all share the same stories, such similar stories of in the pain and the disease. And yes, I also have to say in my adolescence, I used to be strong for the church. You know, I would connect to God, not for the church, but I would pray three times a day. I would say my psalms. I would, you know, this was just young. I was 16, 17. I'd be praying all day long and know all these prayers by heart. And as soon as I break my abstinence, because I knew how to diet back then. And as soon as I was binging, I hated God and I didn't pick up one word of Psalms, and I was angry and hurting. And what I've learned is that, I didn't know how to pray because I just make promises. You know, I'm not going to go into that store that I was passing by on the way to work. And I was in that store before I knew it, where I'd stop after this cookie. And I was eating all the cookies in the box. And those prayers and those resolutions, they just never worked. It wasn't even 9 o'clock that I would be, you know, binging away. It was, I couldn't even get dressed without having food in my mouth. I have to get food. I'd have food in my drawers. I'd have food in my bedroom that I could suck on, chocolate bars, so that I would feel numbed out, so I could feel nothing, because the pain of getting dressed over the body that I hated was just so too powerful for me to actually feel. I'd have to numb out from that. And what I learned is that God wants my prayers. God wants me to be abstinent. God loves me. But I do need to do my part to stop binging. And that is exactly what the definition of abstinence is. Abstinence is refraining from compulsive overeating. It's not, you know, being abstinent and expecting I'm not going to have the mental obsession to eat. It's sitting through the pain, doing whatever I need to do to not pick up 1 minute at a time, and that it will pass. It will pass. I will not be mentally obsessing for the rest of the day when I'm in that mental obsession. It's hard to remember that, but God wants me to do my part. Pray to God and row to shore. And I love that word surrender that everybody's using, because when I'm surrendered, I've accepted to my core on a deep level that I cannot eat those foods happily. And knowing when, predicting when I can stop it. And so, you know, thank God today my prayer is to be abstinent. I prayed to God this morning, God, please help me to be abstinent. Please help me want to be abstinent today and want to have a close connection with you today. And I know that I have a fellowship of people and I have tools to use and the steps that I work on a daily basis to get me out of my stinking thinking, which will bring me back to the food. And anyone who's struggling, especially at the beginning, please reach out. We're all here for you, and we'd love to take your phone call. With that, I'll pass. Thanks so much for letting me share. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. All right, so we have room for about one or two more shares if anyone would like to come on the line and share.
Elaine B.
All right, go ahead, Elaine.
Okay, thanks so much for your service, Brandy, and such beautiful shares. You know, the two friends spoke of their spiritual experience and about the course of action that carried it out. And we just hear the defensiveness go up. You know, I tried church. I tried. It's too big for me. It's too much for me. It won't fix it. You know, I tried praying to God, and next thing I know, I'm picking up again. I'm worse than ever. This is a man who had given up hope, but the fact that these two friends standing in front of him were offering a solution, and when they shared their experiences, this guy would know, these people know what I'm going through. These people have been where I've been. And one of the things I love about this meeting is that they carry the message of hope. We carry the message of recovery. We get to talk about this process that they took, the course of action, this design for living that really works. And I sort of wish that in
every city, state, and hamlet, every church, every whatever spiritual foundation that these steps would be encouraged in and taught in, because it truly is a design for living that really works, that causes us, when we are in disease or in discomfort, you know, we're not turning to things that aren't going to be the solution. And we get to build this power of our, you know, relationship with a power greater than ourselves. We can pray to God, you know, that we'd never touch. We swore we'll never take another bite. So that's self-reliance. That's not God-reliance. We can pray to God, but when we're saying that it's up to us, we need that power greater than ourselves. And that's a huge part of the course of action that they took, that they carry out, that daily practice of making conscious contact with a power greater than ourselves, of, yes, absolutely, surrendering the food, 1A, and then carrying the message to those who still suffer with food, 12B, and everything else in between is not so much about going to church. It's about having a spiritual relationship, building trust and reliance, building a relationship with food. Ben and Jerry were always sweet, and they never said no, but they didn't stick around very long. But this is a relationship that is going to see us through to the rest of our lives. Thanks for the opportunity to share, and I pass.
Thank you so much. We have time for about a two-minute share if anyone would like to take up that time. One quiet line. All right. Well, that's okay. There's always time for...
Hi, this is Gloria.
Oh, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to claim my seat. And put my voice on the line. I know it's good for me and my program, and having a little bit of a hard time recently, so I just wanted to put my name out there, so I'm reinforcing to myself, this is where I am and this is where I belong. Thanks.
Thank you. Welcome. All right. So with that, we will close the meeting. So we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Barbara W. please read a vision for you?
Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize, we know only a little. God will constantly disclose. I better put on my glasses. I apologize. We'll constantly disclose. More to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if you are your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for allowing me to do service.